as I mentioned earlier, this is only going to be quite short because we've started looking at the ages of ages. And last week we saw how the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God will all transform at the end into the eternal kingdom. And today we're going to be looking at the new heaven and the new earth. And it's up to you guys. I'm giving these more of as a teaching message. It's up for you to go home and have a good study of them. But today there are many, many scriptures relating to our subject today. So in 2 Peter 3, you can go there to start with, and because I'll read that as a text, and we'll be starting at verse 10. And then through the message, I'm going to be going to a lot of verses, so I don't expect you to keep up. But if you write them down, write them down, or you can look later on at them. In 2 Peter 3:10, we read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now in Isaiah 65:17 we read, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." And in Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And back in Isaiah 51:6, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." You know, when we look at those scriptures, that's very plain to see that the present earth and heaven will be dissolved. It says that it will melt with a fervent heat. And then by a definite act of God, things will be created new. Now, people wonder, well, how's that going to happen? How are we going to get a new heaven and a completely new earth? Is everything just going to be annihilated? Well, hopefully we'll see today that's not the case. But we are told there that by a definite act of God, things will be created new. Now, if God created the present heavens and the earth as we know them, it's not going to be any harder for him to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the Bible instructs us, before we go too much further, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, "Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Now, the covenant that God made with Abraham, if you want to study that covenant, is in Genesis 15 through to 17. The covenant God made with Abraham guarantees Israel a permanent home on this earth. And the covenant God made with Abraham guarantees that to Israel. Genesis 17:8, it said, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan," and here's what it says, "for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." See, it guarantees the nation Israel a national existence, a kingdom, a king, and a land. And also on top of that, it guarantees spiritual blessings that are unending. Now, since God cannot lie, and since God's covenant cannot be broken with Abraham, there must be an eternal earth where the seed of Abraham can dwell according to the covenant God made with them. Israel will dwell on the new earth, and they will enjoy the blessings that God promised to their fathers through the prophets. Now, today, we know Satan is the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2, and we don't have to go far to recognize that. And as believers, we should know that. You know, many people look around and they scoff at that sort of thing because they can't really see anything. You look up in the air, what can you see? Yeah, we don't see much at all, do we? But I can guarantee you, in this building right now, there are sounds going on. There's all sorts of stuff going on in this building we can't see. Now, I couldn't find what I wanted to use for an illustration, but if I had a radio right now and turned that on, what would happen? We would hear all the noise and the music and everything. Can we see it? No, but it's going on in this room right now. And Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is at work right now through the heavens and this earth, seeking whom he can devour. And in this atmospheric heaven above us, it holds untold demons and workers of the devil. We can't see them, but they are there. But before the eternal kingdom, God is going to burn all evil out of the heaven above us and create new heavens. Now, universal destruction will happen just before the appearing of the new heaven and earth. And what we know today is just going to go up in flames. Now in Haggai 2:6, we read, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." And in the process of world judgment and the fiery destruction of all the wicked, it will be burnt up and it will be just as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now Malachi 4:1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So this world we live in today, this earth that we are on, is going to break into pieces and be dissolved. Now, we don't have to worry. We aren't going to be here. We'll be resting with the Lord in heaven while all this judgment's going on. Now, in Isaiah 24:18, "For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly." This is what's going to happen at the end there. The stars will melt, and Isaiah 34:4 tells us, "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine and as a falling fig from the tree." So we see everything's just going to be dissolved and burnt up. Now in 2 Peter 3:7, it says, "But the heavens and the earth which are now," so this is the earth we're in now, the heavens that we know now, "shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together," the heavens which are now by the same word, listen to what it says, "are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." In verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." See, this will be a powerful explosion, and the total destruction of the elements of the universe is God's answer to the devil's revolt against God's creation in the first place. And the display will be God's revelation of his righteous judgment and wrath against sin. Now, we can sort of wonder at that sort of power, but I don't know if anyone has ever seen, was it Mount Erebus in the United States that the volcano blew up, and Mount St. Helens? Do you know that people 20 or 30 kilometres away felt the wind blow through just that mountain? I forget how many, but it was enough timber was pushed over to build 250,000 weatherboard homes. And that's nothing compared to the power that God's going to show when he melts this heavens and dissolves what's on this earth. Nothing at all. But out of this fire, there will emerge a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be the new pearly white city, which will be the eternal abode of the believer in the church. Now, this does not mean, as some like to think, that the whole earth and heaven is going to be completely annihilated. The language and the way this is all put together in the scriptures does not picture annihilation, it pictures transformation. Now, Hebrews 12, 26 and 27 tells us, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So there's going to be something that cannot be shaken, that's going to remain. Now Psalm 102:25 says to us, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of what? The earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou they change them, and they shall be changed." So they're not annihilated. It's talking of a change, a transformation. A new earth will come out from the flames of the old, and in place of this fragile earth, this is an earth of dust, there will be a new creation formed from heavenly matter. And in place of sin, there will be divine perfection. Now, God's word's very clear that this earth will never be annihilated. Psalm 104:5 says, "Who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed for how long? Forever." That's what the text says. It shall not be removed forever. You see, God created all things. And at the end he said it was what he created was very good. And he will not reject his creation. He will redeem it. He will bring order out of chaos, and he'll change that which has been spoiled into godly beauty. It'll be divine perfection. It'll be a beautiful and wonderful place. And God's word is clear on that. Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Notice there, the creature itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, the redemption that Jesus purchased through his shed blood and his finished work on the cross was not only for man, it was for all of God's creation. And Hebrews 9:23 says, "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." So the heavens above have to be cleansed. This earth has to be cleansed. Why? Because at the moment, the god of this world roams around and seeketh whom he can devour. The heavenlies are full of a dwelling place for demons and fallen spirits. Now, down through the ages, the devil has had access to the heavenly regions. Now in Job chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 2 verse 1, you read there that the sons of God came in to present themselves to God, and there's a little phrase in each verse that said, Satan came also among them. Daniel's another one. He had a personal experience when one of the devil's messengers hindered his prayer, an answer to his prayer. Anyone remember how many days? 21 days. There was 21 days. Daniel 10, 1 to 14, read it. Is it any wonder that the whole creation groans and travails in pain, waiting for the day it will be delivered from the curse? Now the earth is the Lord. Man was created from the dust of the earth. There, this earth is therefore the dwelling place of man, but the earth will be redeemed and become the dwelling place of God. And at that wonderful, glorious moment when all things will be redeemed, the throne of God, which is now in heaven, Psalm 113:19 tells us, will also be in earth. And at this time, right now, the earth is God's footstools, but one day it will be a place fit for his throne. But we have to understand that even in eternity, the earth is not going to lose what we would say its identity. After God has transformed and changed this earth and made it perfect, it'll still be matching or similar to what we know the earth to be today. Listen, God has never created anything just for pleasure, for fun. He never created anything in vain. All things are for his honor and his glory. And God does not repair or overhaul. He creates all things new. When you were saved from sin, when I was saved from sin, what happened to us? We became what? New creatures. What happened to the old things? They passed away. Behold, all things become new. But aren't we still the same person? We're still the same. I have the same hands, the same feet, same eyes, the same ears, but I'm brand new. And God's going to burn this earth, dissolve the heavens with fire, back into the basic elements, and he will set it free from all sin and restrictions. And he'll transform all the things of the old into the new. Now, just to illustrate that, man-made diamonds come from what they call a diamond seed. They get a very small chip of a diamond and they mix that with pure carbon. They add a little bit of iron or nickel, some metal with it. They put it in a capsule and then under enormous pressure of around 1 million pounds per square inch, that's incredible, with electric currents of just over 2,500 degrees Celsius, compress and bombard this, and what comes out is a diamond. Brand new. Same little bit of diamond that went in there, but the whole lot becomes brand new. Now, they call many of these black diamonds, and that's what they use in the big construction to drill tunnels and so forth like that. Now, what we believe is God will redeem what he has created, not reject it and completely destroy it. God's plan is the salvation of man's soul, but heavenly things will also be cleansed of the devil's works. And nowhere will he be found again. And it's not where God is now seated in the heavens just above us, but it's going to be all the earth and all the heavens. When Christ died on the cross, he accomplished man's redemption. He said three words. What were they? It is finished. John 19:30. But the things of earth and in heaven must also be delivered from the curse of sin. Now, if that's not true, then that means Satan has won a partial victory. That what God created wasn't very good. It wasn't good at all. But that Satan would win a partial victory when he attempted to overthrow God. Now that just cannot be. God must be all in all, and God will be all in all. And Christ died to redeem all things, and all things will be delivered from the curse and created new and righteous, and justice and truth and righteousness will reign in God's new creation. God will be with his people, and where God is going to be, there will be true joy and peace for eternity. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. There's a lot to look at and understand, but we thank you for also the simplicity of it. And we praise you for that. And Lord, we look forward to that glorious day. And Father, we look forward expectantly, Lord. We're not building treasures on this earth. We really don't want to build grand castles and mansions for ourselves, because we know, Lord, the one who does all things well is making them for us. Help us to rest in you. Help us to trust you, Lord, in all that your word says to us. And help us, Lord, to have a real desire in our hearts to share what you have done for us and our salvation with those who do not yet know it. Father, we praise you. The day is getting late, Lord. And may we be a prepared people, ready for a prepared place where you will reign in righteousness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.